Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Irene, there's a great salsa song for you.
Why are we playing salsa?
Oh, Irene, you are losing your marbles. You're getting old. Can you not remember 7 days ago you said, "Wahoo, you're going to go do salsa," and I had to play some salsa music?
Oh, right. Yes, I am. I haven't got there yet, though. So, yeah, like, that's pretty good. I enjoyed that. And everybody enjoys salsa, you know. It's amazing. It clears the dance floor. It's really good to put a salsa song on when you've got these people trying to line dance and do all this stuff. Because believe me, it clears it right off and leaves it for the people who can't salsa but want to try to salsa. And it's really, really good. I love it. It's one of those rhythms that everybody enjoys.
Yes, you're right. You can't help tapping your toes to that, you know, wiggling the old hips to that. Even if you're not musical, I'm sure it's just going to get you going. Yeah, so there you go. All I did was Google and I just picked one. And there we have it. There was Mark Anthony.
And Mark Anthony is not as common knowledge as a lot of the others. So you did pick a nice, you know, second in line sort of thing.
Good old Google, eh? It put us
here. No. Now, talking about Google, you know, I hope my daughter's not listening this morning because she's always going on at me about Dr. Google and how I rely on Dr. Google too much. But, you know, I've been trying to get all sorts of things and I've solved two things in the last week with Dr. Google. Literally, like health things, you know, literally solved them. So, well, solved them and got more knowledge about them one and solved the other one. So I've been struggling to get enough sleep with everything that's been going on. And it's actually been going on for over a year. So not quite sure what brought it on. But it's not because I have the old lady's poor little muscles that don't work so well anymore. So I've got to get up and go to the toilet 9 times a night to pee little dribbles. Not like that. It's a problem called nocturia. And it's where your body releases vast amount of forms and has vast amounts of liquid. So I would get up 5-6 times at night, like every half hour, every hour, and pee huge amounts. And to try and get the doctor to recognize that this is a problem because I'm not getting any sleep. I need to get sleep. And they go, oh, just an old person's thing, you know, and I'm going, yeah, this so annoys me, you know, there's, and I would pee a 5-liter container in one night, which is a massive amount of pee. And I'm going, there's got to be something really wrong with this. So I cut out wine. I cut out.
You cut out wine.
I know. I cut the whole lot out to try and see if that would make a difference so I could get some bloody sleep. And I talked to my doctor about it. And like I said, she just wrote it off as being, oh, you know, fancy name nocturia. They do love to put fancy names on things. And, you know, and she just sort of shrugged it aside and I got nowhere. Well, blow me down. I saw something come up on Instagram, I think it was, about vitamin D3. And I thought, right, I'm going to Google vitamins D3 and see what the benefits of it are. And there's quite a lot of benefits for older people, like it builds calcium, blah, blah, blah. So I asked my doctor about that and she said, oh, no, you don't need vitamin D3. It's, you know, it's, you're out in the sun all the time and the sun gives you enough vitamin D3 and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, oh, maybe I don't need it. So I went back in and I Googled it again and it said that it also helps with excess amounts of urine.
Oh.
And I thought, right, I'm going to go and invest in some vitamin D3. So I've only been taking it for a week. I slept 8 hours last night. I slept 6 hours the night before. I am so goddamn wide awake after night. I tell you, I am sort of dying. Right, now what am I going to do with all this energy? I've only been taking it a week in the last 2 nights. I've slept more in the last 2 nights than I would normally sleep in a month.
Wow, isn't that cool? And did you talk about it? Did you get it from a pharmacy and did you talk to the pharmacist about it?
I I didn't talk to the pharmacist about it, but I'm going to because he's a wonderful guy and he's got a lot of knowledge. So I'm going to talk to him about it. And if he doesn't know about it, I'm going to tell him about it very quickly. I'm also going to tell my doctor about it. And I'm going to ask her to prescribe me some vitamin D3 because she can give it to me a hell of a sight cheaper than paying $29 a bottle in the pharmacy, you know.
It would be interesting to know what the pharmacist said because they're very... they're very, very knowledgeable, are our pharmacists. Yes. And I think we probably take them for granted or we don't actually know that they have that knowledge. Really interesting.
I just want you to be careful here because our pharmacists seem to be better than our goddamn doctors at the moment. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but honestly, they are so good, they are so caring, and they do have so much knowledge. Now, I know there's that horrible word in there, pharmacy. You know, I think they need to change the name of what they do. But, you know, the whole thing is they can't be indoctrinated with one thing because they've got so many things that they're selling in their shop, you know?
Yeah.
And they have to have so much knowledge on such a huge range of things. So I'm actually very pro my pharmacy.
Yeah, and I think they are actually, interestingly, taking a little bit more off the doctors anyway, just to give the doctors a wee bit of a breather. So, again, you know, your blood checks, your jabs, your pharmacist does it. You know, you can go for your blood test there or your, what's the other one where they put that thing around your arm, your blood pressure?
Blood pressure.
All of those things, they can do all of that for you, you know. But, you know, you're right. When you think about it, all of their training will go way back to, well, I can admit here, I'm making an assumption here, but I can imagine as a pharmacist, their training would go way back to where the plants started and, you know, I'm sure there must be something, you know, where we all ended up getting our drugs from anyway, from plants and things. And yeah, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they say.
Some of them, I must say, in the, you know, older days, definitely not, but some of them nowadays are going back towards homeopathy and natural medicines and things. But unfortunately, they are the predominant dispensers of all the products available, which are supposed to be natural and, you know, in pill form in the pharmacy. And so it's a little bit hard to get past that sometimes. But I agree. I think they're great.
But when we look at all our drugs, they've all come from nature in the beginning. That's where we've just made them and synthesized them, you know, but they have all come back. So you would think, and that would be interesting to look up actually, to think that within their degree, the pharmacy degree, that they do a paper. Oh, don't you hate it when you say that? Do-do? such a weird thing.
Who the expert on languages?
That there is a paper that they would do within their degree in regards to, yeah, plants and where everything came from. That would be actually quite interesting to ask them.
It would be, wouldn't it? I remember absolutely years ago, and it's amazing how much of this stuff is going on nowadays too, but I remember years ago going to, because I've always been into the homeopathy and natural medicines and that, and I would have been probably in my 20s, and I do not remember what the problem was, obviously. It's over 50 years ago, so, you know, how can one remember? But I remember going to this homeopathist, or however you say his name. He cut off toenail, and he cut off all these samples of toenails and then a little bit of skin on my toes. And he said to me to come back in a couple of weeks or something, and I don't know what he did or how he did it, but he told me from that what was causing the problem and had made me up a little potion, which was a tiny, tiny little pills that I had to take. And whatever the problem was, it solved it within a week. I mean, I was a huge believer of the real guys, you know. But I think that art got lost quite some time ago. And a lot of people are trying to revive it. That, I mean, when you don't have enough that's written down from those old days, a lot of it is passed on word of mouth. And There's a lovely lady out at Hamner Wellness. Hamner Wellness is her business, Hamner Springs, who has her own garden, and she creates a lot of her own potions and tonics and things from her garden. But it's all stuff that she's taught herself. She's got no old teachings to rely on.
Isn't that interesting, isn't it? You know, and how sometimes that stuff does get lost as it's passed down through generations, and it's more of, you know, an oral, you know, that you're, it's all spoken. Nobody's actually captured it and written it down, and how quickly stuff like that can get lost. I say with language, isn't it? When we think of our te reo, our Māori language, where that nearly got lost, and someone decided we need to capture this, we need to write it, and then, you know, getting that down. So be interesting to talk to some of the, you know, old pharmacists or even some of our old Māori elders who would also, I can imagine, you know, have a lot of knowledge about the plants and healing that they used to do, and they probably still do. As you say, it's not mainstream, so we kind of lose a lot of those things.
I went to a family reunion in March, my dead husband's family's, you know, my Maori family, and I was very surprised that none of the family, and it was a fantastic reunion, it was really awesome, but none that I actually spoke to anyway knew anything about Maori healing. And yet my mother-in-law and I used to spend a lot of time together because I loved all her natural healing. And like one of my brother-in-laws, he dropped a tomahawk on his head. You know, he was up a tree and he fell out of the tree and the tomahawk falling after him.
As you do.
And luckily, it was the blunt side of the tomahawk that got him in the forehead. And this huge bruise came up like an avocado right on his forehead between his eyes. And she just raced outside and got all these spider webs and these dock leaves and made this little poultice. And it had gone down within a couple of hours. It was over and he was playing with the other kids and, you know, forget about it, it's gone. I mean, nowadays that would be in the hospital and being, you know, there would have been some sort of thing going on. But Mum had it done in no time at all. And things for car sickness and, I mean, there were loads of things that Mum used to tell me about. And yet none of the family remember any of that. You know, I was talking to loads of them about it, and I said, I remember when Mum used to do this, and remember when Mum, they didn't pass it on, they didn't keep it, and yet they are very, very staunch in their Māori tanga. Mum taught all the oldest members of the family anyway. She had 14 kids, and I think it was the first 8 kids spoke fluent Māori by the time they were 5 years of age. So Mum, you know, they were very staunch and keeping their Māori tanga going, and so I was really surprised that the healing didn't come through.
It's kind of that lost art, and it's almost, well, some of it is akin to Ayurveda in India as well, you know, and see, we see some of that coming back or coming into New Zealand now as our Indian population grows and, you know, wanting to keep some of the beliefs that they have around their health as well. So, yeah, I hope those things that they don't get lost along the way, that there are enough out there that do, you know, keep that knowledge and keep passing on that knowledge as well.
Yeah, it would be interesting to find it, but the scary part of what happens nowadays is that if they can't find it, they create it. Mm. And they say it's old, and trying to find the difference, you know, trying to know which is real and which isn't is quite, quite a problem these days. Everything is marketable.
It's so funny what we remember from our childhood. You know, in one of my trainings that I do with the health practitioners, we talk about traditional remedies that we remember and that some of us we may not use anymore, but some of us we do still use. And, you know, getting people to think back and, you know, sometimes they're saying, look, we don't have anything, you know. But then the Rawley's man came up, you know. There was used to be the old man, and the Rawley's man used to come around in his van to more rural spots and have all his lotions and potions, and, you know, everybody would, you know, get that off them. And, you know, I remember one that my mum always used to use when we were like vomiting and diarrhea and stuff. We couldn't keep anything down or in. She always used to feed us dry white toast with cinnamon and sugar on it. Who knows what that did, but it seemed to work. And do you know, I still use that. I use it still today, but I used it also when I was traveling because you can usually get bread, sugar and cinnamon anywhere, you know, around the world. And as I remember one time I was getting people to think about, you know, their traditional remedies and stuff. And one girl, she said, I'm not really sure if this is a remedy. She said, but grandma always used to sit us down for a cup of tea. And I thought the whole remedy in itself was sitting you down and just making you be still for a moment, you know?
Getting you be calm. Yeah, getting you calm.
Yeah.
Well, I've always used, and even when I was working professionally on boats overseas, I've always used to settle upset stomachs. To settle upset stomachs. There's nothing wrong with my tongue, only my throat. Was ginger tea. So I would just use raw ginger and I would just crush it a little bit, bruise it a little bit so that the juice came to the surface and pour hot water on it. And that would calm just about everybody. They hated the taste of it, but it would calm them. Yeah. Give that to them with dry crackers and they'd say, well, what's the point of having the liquid if you're going to make me have dry crackers? And
oh, hey, for our listeners out there, we'd love to hear your traditional remedies and maybe some of those that you've given away because, you know, I mean, I think of the cod liver oil and stuff like that, which some of those things that weren't maybe so nice that our parents gave us, we've given them away. But we'd love to hear what your traditional remedies are. Why don't you jump onto our Facebook page and share them with us? And that's probably all we have enough for this week. So we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Tweet, 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 t